Welcome to Positive Path, a podcast ministry of Unity of San Antonio. Reverend Nina Clark, our senior minister, extends an invitation for you to join us in person on Sundays at 11 o'clock. Unity of San Antonio is a progressive spiritual community where everyone is welcome to attend and serve. We have many opportunities for you to get plugged in, including an active youth and family ministry, classes and workshops, fellowship after church, and many more fun events throughout the year. For more information, check out our website at unityofsa.org. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Okay. So imagine, if you will, I'll try this way, a plastic cylinder, okay? Like that, it's clear, you can see through it. Okay, and we're going to say it's divided into four compartments. Okay, are you with me? Can you visualize that? I tried to go to Googly, it was not helpful. So there's a little tube going into the bottom of the cylinder, and it's filling the cylinder with water. And there's a ping pong ball that's at the bottom of the cylinder, and all the little segments, right? So as the water flows in, what happens to the ping pong ball? Yes, it rises. And it will float as the water rises until it hits that first barrier, right? And then it's going to get pressed against that first barrier. And then let's say that first barrier just dissolves. It just vanishes. What will happen? The ping pong ball will keep going up as the water comes in until it hits the next barrier, right? And so forth and so on. As we dissolve the barriers, it will continue to go up. So this is a visual of what our spiritual growth looks like. We're all little ping pong balls. Raising our energy is analogous to the ping pong ball rising with the water. Bumping into our inherited programming or unconscious limiting beliefs is like the ping pong ball hitting the barrier in one of those compartments. It might even be a little bit uncomfortable for us when our energy is rising and pressing us up against our unlimited beliefs. Anybody ever had that experience? When we clear or integrate our limiting beliefs, that's analogous to that barrier dissolving. And then as we continue to do our affirmative energy work, our vibration rises until we hit the next level of our limited, outdated programming. Those beliefs which no longer serve us. And they no longer serve us because they keep our energy vibration lower than the life that we are wanting to manifest, our next level self. Does that make sense? Okay. So welcome to week 6 in a 7-week series based on the book, The Abundance Project by Derek Rydell. For the past 5 weeks, we've been exploring the topic of abundance. And when we use the word abundance, I want to remind us that we're not just talking about money and material things. We're talking about love and loving relationships. We're talking about exuberant health, about energy and vitality, about joy and fulfilling work, about a soul-deep sense of satisfaction, and about expressing ourselves more fully. We've talked about how the real source of abundance isn't out there in the world. We've been asked to question or even shed, if we're ready, the belief that we have to go to the outside world to get things, and that it's when we have those things that we're abundant. We've been asked instead to consider that the real source of our abundance is the quantum field, also known as God or Spirit. And because we are manifestations of the one life out of which everything is created, we've been invited to consider that our real source of abundance lies within us. Spiritual avatars have known this for a long time. Matthew 8:13, Jesus says to the centurion, "Let it be done to you according to your faith." The Buddha said, "Our life is shaped by our mind. We become what we think. Joy follows a pure thought like a shadow that never leaves." Albert Einstein said, "The world we have created is a product of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking." And our own co-founder, Charles Fillmore, wrote, "We must carefully choose what thoughts we are going to loose in the mind and what thoughts we are going to bind, for they will come into manifestation in our affairs." These quotes all say the same thing, that we create from the inside out. This means it starts with us. We need to create or generate within ourselves the feeling vibration or the feeling tone of what we want to experience in our lives. And relating to this particular series, we are focusing on creating the feeling tone of abundance. And again, that can be for an abundance of anything: love, joy, security, success. For most of us, when we're first exposed to this teaching, it can feel a little bit out there. Anybody remember that when somebody first said to you, "Your mind creates a reality"? You're like, "Yeah, right." This little small or loud voice in our head scoffed and dismissed it with a massive eye roll as crackpot or anecdotal at best. But now, thanks to quantum science and string theory, we're learning that it's no longer anecdotal. For those of us who need that reassurance, science is now telling us not only that it works, but how it works. Did you know that our bodies are like electrical powerhouses? Our cells are designed to conduct electrical currents. I'm starting to feel like my biology teacher here again. Electricity is required for the nervous system to send signals through the body and to the brain, making it possible for us to move, think, or feel. This also works with our thoughts and feelings quite literally. A thought combined with a feeling sends a magnetized electrical pulse or an electromagnetic wave out into the quantum field. And as the waves of energy that you create radiate out into this quantum field, they make quantum connections with other waves that are like them. So your abundance waves connect with other waves of abundance. And in this way, we connect with the vibration of abundance that already exists in the universe. And more of it shows up in our experience based on the thought, image, idea that was connected to the feeling tone that you generated. In other words, quote, "When we think about the love of God drawing to us the substance necessary for support and supply, the substance begins to accumulate all around us, and as we abide in the consciousness of it, it begins to manifest in our affairs." Doesn't that sound like another way of saying that the quantum field, we send out waves and it all starts to gather and connect? Charles Fillmore said that. So then, why aren't we all experiencing lavish abundance in every area of our lives? You know, we actually are, because there is an abundance of everything. There is an abundance of enough, as well as an abundance of not enough or lack. If we believe strongly and passionately in not enough, as many of us do, we are sending out thought waves of not enough. And those thought waves combined with other thought waves of not enough, and we'll experience a whole lot of not enough. So now, armed with the understanding that the source of our abundance is within us, or at least with the willingness to believe that that's true, to suspend disbelief, and that our thoughts and feelings play a part in our life experience, we can begin. And so this work begins with ourselves. We begin by generating the feeling of what we want within ourselves first. And the reason for this is that the whole inside-out process starts with us giving from within us that which we want to receive. So we create a vibration of abundance inside of ourselves, and then we give it away, opening that flow from like the giving end of the hose, so to speak, so that it simultaneously opens up the inflow at the other end of the hose, the receiving end. So giving primes the pump, so to speak. But if we have nothing to give, we can't get that flow of circulation started. And once we give, we need also to be open to receiving. Is there anybody in here that has a hard time receiving? Only me? Okay, just now. In this way, we step into the flow of circulation. And as we do so, Rydell tells us, we need to remind ourselves that everyone and everything in the world around us is our channel, but they are not our source. When we are in that outside-in paradigm of abundance, it's easy to believe that our job or our partner's job is the source of our financial abundance. It's easy to believe that our partner or friend is the source of the love that we want. And we believe that we can only feel happy or peaceful or loved or secure when some outside condition meets our stated requirements. Reverend Michael Beckwith tells a story of a woman whose husband had left her and was not paying the child support that the courts had mandated that he should pay. They prayed together, and that night she had a dream, and in her dream, she walked down the hallway of her house, and she saw a picture of her ex-husband on the wall. And in her dream, she took that picture down off the wall and put up a picture of God instead. And the next day she called Michael and asked him what it meant. And Reverend Michael told her that her dream was telling her that her husband was not the source of her supply. This was something that she'd been unconsciously believing. God or the universe is the source of her and your supply. So she went to work within herself, shifting her belief set from her ex as her source to God as her source. And she was subsequently offered a job, completely as a surprise to her, that paid her more money than she'd ever earned in her life prior to that. And then shortly after that, her husband started paying child support, and he gave her more than what the court told him he had to pay. Once she shifted her belief away from her husband as her source and aligned herself with the universe as her source, her supply channels opened up wide. There is one source, but many channels. And everyone and everything is a channel, but no one person or thing is our source. What we want doesn't originate with them. It flows through them. And we're all connected to that one source from which we can draw and draw and draw. It's infinite. It's inexhaustible. And this brings us to this week's lesson where Rydell talks to us about abundance shadows and values conflict, both of which can frustrate the flow of abundance, kind of like in our tube analogy, kind of like our little partitions. We've been led to believe that our shadow is bad, or it's the bad in us. But really, our shadow, at least in the context that Rydell uses it, refers to some part of ourselves that we have disowned, repressed, or abandoned. Author Ole Anderson writes, "Your shadow is all of the things, positive and negative, that you've denied about yourself and hidden beneath the surface of the mask that you forgot you were wearing." These shadows often originate in childhood, and in most cases, that these shadow parts of us were created in innocence, with the intent to help or protect us. The other interesting thing about shadows is that the parts of ourselves that we often like or appreciate the most or get the most positive feedback about exist because of our shadow. For example, if we were told when we were little that we were selfish, you're not sharing your peanut butter cookies with your brother, and how bad it was to be selfish, we may have created a very generous part of ourselves because we don't or didn't want to be seen as selfish and thus bad. I'm seeing some nodding heads out there. That generous part of ourselves is liked and rewarded and gets a good workout, keeping the so-called selfish part repressed and out of sight. Rydell likens this to trying to hold a beach ball underwater. Has anybody ever tried to do that? If you've ever tried this, then you'll know that it takes a lot of work, a lot of energy to keep that beach ball submerged. And at some point, however it turns on us, we get tired. Being generous all the time means that we put ourselves last. We don't do adequate self-care. We have difficulty receiving. We can start to feel resentful, exhausted, etc. But when we get in touch with that repressed part of us and integrate it, we free up all the energy we were expending in keeping it submerged. And we discover we can actually now live a more balanced life. It doesn't mean we stop being generous. It just means that we can now include ourselves in the equation without guilt. And then this ups our ability to be able to step into the flow of abundance. Author Alethea Luna writes, "By doing shadow work, we learn that every single emotion and wound that we possess has a gift to share with us. Even the most obnoxious, ugly, or shameful parts of ourselves provide a path back to oneness." Shadow work actually reminds me of Unity co-founder Myrtle Fillmore. In the course of doing her inner work, affirming the truth of her being when she was working to heal herself, she discovered places within her belief system that were not in alignment with the life experience that she was trying to create. She'd been struggling with some intestinal issues, and she wrote, "Because I know that this abdominal trouble has a definite cause in the realm of my own mental attitudes, it was necessary for me to grow in understanding. And so I finally asked the Lord just why it was that I did not get well. And Spirit said to me, 'You've looked among your faults, and now look among your virtues.'" Because I thought that was strange, but soon it came to me that I tried to keep my feelings to myself, taking great pride in the fact that I never let anyone know just how I felt when something displeased me or hurt me. I found that I did not feel as sweet and poised on the inside as I did outwardly. Now, we'll never know the full story of what Myrtle uncovered, but we can speculate a little bit. Somewhere along the line, it's clear that she learned to not express her true feelings. This created a persona on the outside that was pleasing, but that was eating her up on the inside. When she learned to allow herself to feel those feelings and to be more honest in their expression, she was able to express more wholeness, and her health once again began to improve. Rydell also teaches that values conflicts are another thing that can take us out of the flow of abundance. We may think we value one thing, or perhaps we feel as though we should value a particular thing, but in reality, we unconsciously value something else. A friend of mine once said, "If you want to know what you really value, take a look at your checkbook or your credit card statement." And Derek uses himself as an example. He wanted to create financial success to take care of his family, but whenever he reached a certain level of success, he would start feeling anxious and guilty and then sabotage his own efforts. So then he would switch gears and dive into his art, spirituality, his family, and then after a while, because those things were also really important to him, but then after a while, he'd start to feel anxious about his business, so he would jump back into his business. So after seesawing back and forth, he finally called a halt and did a deeper dive, which revealed that when he was young, his father had become increasingly more unavailable as he became more successful. And he would also put down Derek's artistic endeavors, telling him that he too also needed to be successful in this same way. But Derek, feeling somewhat neglected and put down for his artistic desires, didn't want to be the kind of person that his father was turning into. So he developed the unconscious belief that being successful equated to being unavailable and unkind. His conflict was that he didn't want to be like his father, but he also wanted to provide well for his family. So every time he started to be successful, his unconscious belief would kick in, "You're like your dad now," and he would get anxious and then turn his attention away from his business. Does that make sense? Okay. Rydell offers a solution to this, what he calls a values affirmation that connects the two apparently contradictory values so that one builds the other in a constructive way. And the directions for this are in today's handout if you'd like to grab one on your way in or out. So back to our opening example of the tube and the water and the ping pong ball. This is our work. We raise our consciousness, bump into shadow stuff, old beliefs, values, conflicts, and then we do our spiritual work to integrate or clear them. And then we're free to float up again until we bump into the next limitation. And each time we clear another limitation, life gets a little bit better. And if we are persistent and consistent, we find ourselves increasingly living lives that amaze and delight us.
Thank you for listening today. I want to invite you to check out our Positive Path Meditations. You can take a listen anytime you need to recenter and realign. Have a wonderful day.